Okay, friends, I'm going to ask you to return to your seats and we're going to continue. You too. Good stuff. Thank you. Just one thing I wanted to mention. I just wanted to sort of acknowledge and congratulate both T2, who's been with us here regularly, and Zach, who is just finishing. These guys have just finished their programs here at the Dream Center. Could we just give them a round of applause? Sometimes when it comes to Dream Center guys here, I don't know if we're here with them or they're here with us, but either way, we love being side by side, and congratulations to you guys. There will be a commencement for these guys and one other as well on, I believe it's October the 5th. I can't remember the number, but not this Friday, but the following Friday, whatever October date that is. It's the Dream Center worship here at 7 o'clock that Friday, and there will be a commencement as part of that. So I hope you guys can come and join with these guys in celebrating the good work and the hard work that they have done and what God's done in their lives in the process. Okay, would you grab your Bibles? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We come here to open your word, knowing and believing that we will hear from you in the process of reading, in the process of listening, in the process of wrestling, in the process of offering you our lives and believing that there will be a better exchange and that we benefit more as we give our lives to you, and then we can hear more. So, Lord, would you lead us in surrender? Would you lead us in, not my will, but yours be done? And would you grant us your Holy Spirit and the illumination that your Spirit brings, so that we understand what we are hearing, so that our hearts respond properly and give you the obedience that you deserve, the worship that you deserve, the gratitude that you deserve. Lord, where there are places where we have been holding things back, I pray that those would be addressed. Where there are places where you are simply calling us forward, I pray that we would walk forward without fear, trusting you. We've been reminded this morning of your faithfulness. It will be the same now. It will be the same when we leave. You will be our faithful God. Would you make us people who trust you to be faithful? So, Lord, we love you. We anticipate you. Have your way in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you grab your Bibles and go to 1 Samuel? We're going to start at chapter 2, verse 1. It's easy to talk, and we have talked a number of times about how sometimes crisis reveals things in our lives. It reveals character. Sometimes just surprise can reveal things in our lives, like a stubbed toe or a driver that cuts you off, and suddenly something comes out of you that was always there, but maybe you were pretending it wasn't there, right? There are moments in our lives, whether it's COVID and the world shutting down and suddenly our idols and our gods are revealed, or whether it's the little things like the stubbed toe or whatever. There are just moments in our lives that can reveal something about us. That's the negative side of that. But there's a positive side of it as well. Positive things that show up in our lives can reveal something about who we are. I think of our kids playing games, and as you're playing games with your kids, you have to teach them not only to be a good loser, but also a good winner, right? Winning is a positive thing, right? But it can still bring things out in us, both good and bad. It reveals something as well. All right, so sometimes good things reveal things. Good things that happen to us can still reveal something to us about who we are and what's coming out. So whether you got an inheritance or a job promotion, whether you have accomplished a goal or been given a gift that you'd been longing for, a big, big prayer was answered, that can reveal something to you in your response as you receive that gift. So think about it. Think about a huge, maybe an answer to prayer in your life, or a huge just win for you, something good that dropped into your plate out of the blue, dropped into your lap out of the blue. Think about something really big that happened in your life. Maybe you got married. Maybe you someone. Maybe there's a baby on the way. Maybe, you know, whatever it is that's really big. Maybe it was an answer to prayer. Maybe it wasn't. But think about when that thing happened. How did you respond? And how did you see God's hand in that? We're going to see that happening in the character of Hannah as we go to this story. So let me remind you of who Hannah is before we read our passage. Hannah is a woman who has been faithful to God for a long time, and yet she has longed and longed for a child and been unable to conceive. And even though it seems like everyone around her is getting pregnant and having babies, and it drives that pain deeper into her, and she cries out to God after years and years of struggling with this pain, and it says to God, if you give me a son, I will dedicate this son to you, meaning that she will actually give the child back to God. The child will be then grow up in the tabernacle under the priests. He will be like taking a vow, you know, the priestly vows of poverty, chastity, and whatever else, right from the very beginning. I will have him, but I will then give him back to you, God. And God answers her prayer. She conceives, she gives birth to a son, and she fulfills her vow. She does give the child back. The child born to her is named Samuel, and she offers him back to God. It takes a few years for her to do that, not because she's holding him back, but because she can't give him until he is weaned. And so it takes a few years of that weaning process. Typically, weaning was two, three, four years, something like that. So it's a very small boy that she then takes to the temple and says, I'm giving him back to you, God. And we're going to pick up what happens, what comes out of Hannah in response to God giving her what she asked. Now, I know many of you have read this passage before. If you read it with fresh eyes, you might be surprised to see that it doesn't really look like a thank you for my child, God. It actually has a very different theme to it. And we're going to see what it is that comes out of Hannah as she receives something good and completes her vow, because she sees it in a much bigger picture. So would you go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1, or excuse me, chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. She's just offered Samuel to Eli, the priest. They're about to leave him. And it says, verse 1, then Hannah prayed this prayer. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn, which is an old symbol for strength, is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. A rock was a symbol for strength, refuge. It's like a fortress they would run to. There's no one like the rock, our God. So do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you look at that last line? He will give strength to his king, verse 10, second half of it. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn. Again, horn is a symbol for strength, sometimes authority, of his anointed. Anointed is another way of saying the king. Where you expected simply, thank you, Lord, she has something coming out of her that has a lot more to do with what God is about to do in the future. It's actually a prophetic prayer and a prophetic word. There is no king in Hannah's time. Right? Do you remember that as we covered that a couple of weeks ago? In Hannah's time, remember the period of the judges? There was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his or her own eyes. Right? Last line of the book of Judges. There's no king. Hannah speaks about a king. It's a prophetic word. There won't be a king, in fact, in Hannah's lifetime. There won't be a king until Hannah's son Samuel grows up and becomes so old that the people come to him and say, you can't be prophet and judge among us, and we will see this in several weeks' time. You, Samuel, can't be prophet and judge among us. Give us a king. And Samuel, in his old age, will then anoint Israel's first king, which Hannah won't see. But she speaks of something that's coming. How does she do that? Where does this come from? Right? We started this conversation by talking about how good things that we received sometimes draw things out of us. Right? Where does this prophetic word and her praise to God come from? How does she see this? That's the question we're going to wrestle with this morning. She's, for one thing, she's been meditating, as you see in the passage, on who God is. Right? So look at verse 2, verse 3. He's rock, he's judge. So he's fortress, he's savior, he's deliverer. Right? He's the judge who knows and who weighs deeds. She's been chewing on who God is. She's got hours and hours of nursing, often alone in the dark, probably, and she's been reflecting on who this God is. And one of the things that she's thinking about is how her people are currently being oppressed by their enemies. But God is judge. God is rock. God is savior and deliverer. How do I know that? How do I, Hannah, know that? Well, he gave me something. He showed faithfulness to me. He's got to be doing that on a bigger scale for our people. And she's meditating on who God is, and it's starting to come out now. She meditates not only on who he is, but on what he does. And that's why she can say that the people who are powerful get toppled, as she will go on and do. Right? She'll talk about how those who are humble will get exalted and those who are proud are going to get taken down a peg. And that's what comes out in her prayer. He changes the fortunes of the comfortable. God reverses them. She thinks about that because he reversed my fortune. He'll do that on a wider scale. He's the God who gives life. He's the God who takes life. He gave life. He gave me life. He's the God who owns life. There's no life outside of God. God gives life and God takes life. We're going to talk about that more in coming weeks. But it's his. She's beginning to meditate on who God is and on what he does, and it comes out of her mouth in prayer. He's the God who's faithful. He's been faithful to me, therefore he will be faithful to this people. He silences the wicked. He brings down those who oppose him. He will, last line, establish the strength of his king. How does she know that there's going to be a king? Have you read Deuteronomy? A couple of books back, a couple hundred years before. Moses is addressing the people. They're on the verge of stepping into the promised land. And he gives them the law. The whole book of Deuteronomy is basically a record of that speech couple of hours of Moses addressing, you guys are going to need to know this before you step into the promised land. And one of the things that he says to them halfway through the book of Deuteronomy is, you will have a king at some point. And here are the things that you need to have in place. Here's what that king should be like and shouldn't be like. God spoke through Moses. It got written down. It came all the way to Hannah. And Hannah, somehow by the Spirit, says, this is coming. So often prophecy is not coming up with something new. It's going back to the scriptures and saying, this is about to happen. Because this is what God is like. Because this is what he said. And so we hold on to what he has already said. And that's what Hannah does. This isn't the first time that God has announced that there will be a king. But Hannah, speaking by the Spirit, says, it's coming. It's in motion now. How does she know that? I suspect it's hours of in the dark, weaning a baby, and pondering the place that this baby has in the plan that God has for his people. And in praying through those things, more comes. I think God showed her something. Because Hannah's son isn't just one nameless person in Scripture. It seems like God, in those moments in the dark, reveals what he's going to do through that son. That this son is somehow going to be a key player in part of what God does in the years ahead. Because as I said, this son, this Samuel, will not just be around when a king comes. He's going to make it happen. He's going to be part of that. But it comes out of that time with the Lord. And one other thing. I suspect that it comes from Hannah having a bigger vision for what God wants to do in her life and in her people's life than her own personal problems. Because Hannah says, Lord, if you give me this child, I will give him back to you. I want him to be active in making this world a better place and serving you that your purposes might be accomplished in it. She gives him back to him. Hannah has a bigger picture vision for what God wants to do in the world. And it goes beyond, like I said, it goes beyond her personal problems. It goes beyond the things that she is wrestling with. As much as she does want a child, there's like a bigger kingdom picture that Hannah has. So let me ask you, do you and I, do we, and I'm preaching very much to myself, right? I have personal problems just like you, right? Ben, do you? Church, do you? Do we have a bigger picture, kingdom vision for what God wants to do in the world? Do you pray for the church? God's only plan for doing something in the world is through the church. There is no plan B. So if you have a heart for anything happening in the world, his plan is always to go through the church. There's no plan B. Do you pray for the church? As you have a heart for the world, for those who are on the streets, for those who are hungry, for those who are lost, for those who need care, for those who need a friend, do you have a heart that prays God's kingdom work and Lord, do it through your church? Do we have that? And then, as we wrestle with our own, I got my problems, I'm waiting for an answer for this particular thing. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's like Hannah, it's like a fertility thing, maybe it's like I've never experienced this in my life. Lord, I really, really want this. But do you, like Hannah, have the bigger picture vision of where that would fit within what God wants to do in the world? It's all good. Hannah saw God's answer to prayer in her life fitting within a much larger story of how God wanted to move in the world. Could we see the same thing that you and I are wrestling with, and God answering that prayer also fitting within his bigger picture of what he wants to do in the world? Not just, God, give me a job, but Lord, with this job, would you make me someone who has kingdom-level effectiveness in the world, where lives are changed, where people are touched, where missionaries are sent, where people are blessed, all because I got this job? Fill in the blank, not job, but whatever thing you are looking for most from the Lord. And it's a need, but could you see that need within the bigger picture? That's what I need for myself. I need that bigger picture reframing so that I get more of God's perspective on it and so that my prayers become less selfish, right? Because I can get really, on moment of honesty, I can get really selfish in my prayers, right? Yep. So do we have a vision beyond our families, beyond our wants, beyond our problems? So think about the big thing that you're praying for these days. And let's pause for a moment. And let's pray the prayer. Would you close your eyes with me? Let's do this. Let's pray the prayer. You, Lord Jesus, you say, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So Lord, would you, as we offer up this prayer of this thing that we are carrying, and we say, but Lord, I want to be someone who obeys Jesus and says, seek first the kingdom. Ask him to reframe it so that it isn't one or the other, so that we see how what it is that we need fits in with the kingdom. I'm going to offer you a moment to have that interaction with the Lord. Amen. It's been a while since we've done this, so are there any questions that you want to ask? Just throw up a hand or call it out. Be happy to interact for a minute. If there's something that's been bugging you, or you need clarification on something, or this thought came to mind that you want to speak out and engage with, is there someone that has a question that you want to process? Going once. Twice? Okay. Always happy to chat afterwards. Every good and perfect gift is from? Every good and perfect gift is from? There are some rumblings out there. It's from above, right? Speaking of God, right? That's James, Book of James, New Testament, chapter 1. Every good and perfect gift is from above. If it's good, if it's perfect, it didn't come by chance. Do you think God had purpose in that gift? Could we be more like Hannah, who when good things come to us, we not only do say thank you, but then be drawn into prayer and say, Lord, tell me more about why you did this. Why did you answer this prayer? I know I asked. And I know you're generous, and I know you're kind, and all of those things. Help me, but I know that you also are at work in the world, and you like to bring things together. What are your purposes for this? What are your purposes for this money I got? What are your purposes for moving me to this neighborhood? What are your purposes in giving me this child I was not expecting? What are your purposes in putting us as a worshiping community downtown right now? What are your purposes within whatever it is? Lord, give me your perspective, because I want to see things from your perspective. Because more comes out. Hannah prophesies. And I think she prophesies out of having wrestled with the Lord about the good things that he has been doing in her life and giving her. What are God's purposes for your recovery? Your healing, your school, your inheritance, this promotion. The more that we seek first the kingdom, the more that we have that heart, because Hannah demonstrated that heart, the more likely we are to recognize God's answers to those questions. The more likely we are then to participate in what God is doing in the world. And big things happen, all because Hannah not only offers this child, but then talks to God about the child. More comes. Let's pray. Lord, we want to have that big picture perspective. We want to see things from your point of view, and we can't do that without you. Would you grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation? That as we in worship and in gratitude say thank you for the many, many good gifts that you have given us, would you help us to see not only how to steward well what you have given, but to seek you for your purposes in them? Because you are a God who longs to be at work in our lives in increasing ways. And so, Lord, would you make us people who will offer you more and more, not only our problems, but even the things that you give us in answer to those prayers we've asked about our problems. We asked for marriage. Could we give that back to you? Or we asked for children. Or we asked for a path forward where everything seemed cloudy and we didn't know what to do next. Would you make us people who engage you in conversation and hear from you and learn your ways, that we might see you do more? That we might, as we come to worship, as we come like Hannah to say thank you, may we speak your spirit-led words, your spirit-given words, and see you do more. Lord, we want to see Red Deer touched. We want to see lives changed. We want to see people meet you. We want to see healing. We want to see our neighbors know Jesus. We want to see marriages and families repaired. We want to see children thrive. Lord, we can't do those things without you. But Lord, although we can't see the connections, would you give us what we need to see our own stuff from your perspective and how you want to meet those needs that we just named? And how you want to do more in this world, just like you did in Hannah's. Lord, would you give us the childlike confidence that you are this kind of God? You're not only the God who provides, but the God who establishes your kingdom through your people. Through ordinary people like Hannah, ordinary people like Ben, ordinary people like those listening right now. And may we once again come to you and say, Lord, I believe you will do great things through ordinary people like me. So show me how to play my part well and offer you my life. We love you, Lord, and we trust you. Guide us forward in whatever we are wrestling with. Guide us forward, knowing that you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a good change. Thank you. Surrender is hard. If that's something that you're wrestling with and you want some prayer or want to talk more, be happy to do that. There's freedom in surrender, and I'm preaching to myself as much as to you. I need it too. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace and his presence, his strength, even his strength to let go. Be blessed, friends. Thanks for being here. Have a great week.